Maybe I need this down a little.
Is good?
I think that's good. Can you hear me now at the back? So welcome to the retreat. I'm very happy to be here. My name is Radha. I'm from Australia. And I'm also extremely happy to be teaching with my friends Muli and Toma. It's a great joy. So thank you, each of you, for coming, for your presence, and for your practice. I want to say a little about the teachings themselves. The Buddha invites us, in fact, he implores us to abide independently, not clinging to anything in this world. For most of us, this is a very big ask. But that is actually where we start with the practice. We loosen our grip on everything to which we are clinging. So as we sit each day, we will notice what we are holding to. We will feel the sensations in our body. We will recognize and feel perhaps a whole range of our feeling world. And then, of course, there's the world of thought. And the mind tends to grip and cling and grasp with a thought that's all about us. It's an I thought. And curiously enough, we find ourselves the most interesting thing in the whole world. And we can spend weeks and weeks and weeks thinking about nothing but ourselves. Yet, of course, this is not the invitation. The invitation is to see that which is greater or bigger than or not of self. I'm using self here to mean the me, the ego. And so when we sit, we see what we're clinging to. We see where we're stuck. And yet at the same time, if we can just bring our awareness to that, we see that all of the sensations subside. We see that every feeling we've ever had subsides. We see that our thoughts, these little invisible formations, all pass. We can't stop them even if we try. And so our practice is one of being with all that arises and all that ceases, without claiming it as me and mine, just seeing it for what it is. It's a bunch of sensations and feelings and thought forms, thought formations. And of course, the thoughts form into views and opinions. And so we need to understand and bring awareness to it. It's a particular kind of awareness. It's awareness that has what the Buddha called the Nibbana element, the freeing element. So as we sit with all that is for us, no matter if that's painful or pleasant, or whatever is happening, whether our life is in turmoil, or something dreadful has just happened in our life, whatever it is that's happening, we sit with it with a heart and mind that doesn't grasp and cling. So if you like, we start from a position of freedom. We start from non-clinging. And then, of course, our life starts to cling up and we start to see, not from the narrow, limited self, but we see much more than that. And when the self, the me, ceases blessedly, even for a little bit, or just recedes into the background, we begin to see that there's the vast and wonderful freedom of this world that we can directly experience. And the framework that the Buddha used, of course, was one of the Four Noble Truths, that in this life there is suffering. Not that the whole of life is suffering, or there'd be no freedom. But in this life there is suffering. There are causes and conditions that contribute to it. There is the cessation, the ending of the suffering, and the path to that ending of the suffering, the path to liberation, which is what we are cultivating here. So this is the framework. And it's quite remarkable, really, when we start to look at it and see it and understand it for ourselves. But with each of those truths, there's an action that's required. And the action that's required with our suffering, and by suffering I mean everything from minor dissatisfaction through to extreme distress, that which is difficult to bear, the Pali is dukkha. So the action that's required with our suffering is to comprehend it. In some places I teach in the world, people don't even realize that they're suffering. But that's not really an issue I've had here. Here in Israel, suffering is understood. What is perhaps not understood is the way to the end of suffering, which is what the teachings are about. But we have to comprehend our suffering, not ignore it or suppress it. We have to understand it. And we understand it by seeing the causes and conditions that contribute to it, that keep it in place, that fuel our suffering. And then we understand that if we let go of holding on to the notion that we have of the one who suffers, the I, the me, if we can just let go of that, we also begin to let go of our desires, we let go of our attachments. And then consciousness can open out to an extraordinary vastness, a way of being that's free, that's boundless, open. And so we begin right where we are. So if you've come to the retreat and you think my life is a total catastrophe, never mind, you are very, very welcome. And this is where you start. You start by being with the body, being with the feeling world, being with the thoughts as they are, just as it is. So we bring unreactive awareness to all that arises. And we see, oh, this is arising, this is staying, this is passing. And the practice is one of just letting the conditions of the heart and mind and the body cease. We see the ending, we track the sensations and we see that they subside. And when those sensations subside, we see that something else is revealed. This is the practice. We need to see and discover for ourselves. It's to be directly understood. So one of the great causes, of course, of our suffering is desire. And so we need to recognize and perhaps name the desire, see the desire for what it is. And then as the Buddha directs us to abandon clinging to the desires. So this is the action that's required for the second of the Noble Truths. The third truth is there is liberation. There is liberation from suffering. And this truth is to be realized. So the understanding it, of it comes from direct realization, direct seeing. And so over and over during the week, I will be, and my teachers here also will be, directing you to the freedom of the heart and mind, to notice, to incline the mind to the absence of the difficulty, to notice the momentary freedoms, to notice when we're not caught up. This is how we realize that there is an end to suffering. We actually see it for ourselves. We see our attachment end. We see our desire end. We see our sorrow end. And finally, of course, the path to liberation is the path of practice, and this is to be cultivated. And over the days, we'll be taking our instructions from the Anapanasati Sutta, the Sutta on Mindfulness of Breathing. And there'll be some rather specific instructions. We begin, of course, with fairly traditional mindfulness of breathing, and then we take up some of the cultivations that the Buddha suggests, some very specific instructions for the cultivation of joy, the cultivation of contentment or happiness. And then we move on to working with the mind. And again, practicing gladdening the mind, liberating the heart and mind. And then, of course, finally, we come to mindfulness of the Dharma, where we will be reflecting on some of the teachings. So we'll contemplate impermanence and so on. We'll contemplate letting go. So these are the teachings. So when we really look, we actually know for ourselves what is harmful and what is helpful or healthy. So part of what we're doing is just touching in with our own inner wisdom. And I would ask you to do this with great kindness. So practicing kindness, softness. Because when we're caught up in something rather turbulent, or there's a big contraction in the emotional world or the inner world, or there's very painful memories from the past, or even from our recent life, when we're caught up in that, it's not through striving or pushing that we're going to find any release. It's actually through softening, through tenderness, through kindness. Someone on the last retreat came to me several times rather distressed, with a great ball of tension in his heart. And then on the second to last day, he thought to himself, well, what if I just put a little bit of softness there? I'd been saying that from the first day, of course, but it suddenly occurred to him, oh, what if instead of trying to work this out, instead of thinking my way through this process, I just put some softness in my heart? And guess what? Suddenly, the pain dissolved, and there was a sense of openness and receptivity, a sense of the vast, a sense of the immeasurable and the boundless. So please remember to practice with kindness, with softness, with tenderness and compassion. It has the capacity to transform the sorrow and the difficulty, to release from it. The Dharma is a training of the heart and mind to the freedom itself. So, yes, we're acknowledging our suffering, we're understanding it and comprehending it, but not staying stuck in it. It's actually from and immediately amid our suffering that sometimes we can have the most profound understandings. And this reminds me of a night many years ago now, but an unforgettable night where I was with my daughter-in-law as my little grandson, who was not quite 2 years old, was dying. He had a brain tumor and he had all kinds of treatments, of course, but nothing could be done. And it was clear to all of us that he would die very soon. His mother was extraordinary, my daughter-in-law. So on this particular night, we were sitting together, and of course we were holding Finn, the little boy, calming him. And she said, she just said this remarkable thing, really. She said, Radha, all over the world, women are sitting and parents are sitting with dying children. So of course, her own heart seemed to be breaking. Yet in that moment, it was not her own suffering that she saw. It was the more universal truth that in this life there is loss, that in this life there is the death of those we love. It is not something we would wish, of course, but it was just the truth of that very moment. And she said, as she sat there, she was filled with love for everybody, everywhere. So even though there very sadly can be and is the loss of those we love, that much is certain in this life. It will surely happen. Either we will die or somebody we know will die, of course. So there, even though there is that ending, we can also know and touch into that which is unending, that which is not of birth and death. And in that moment, she saw the truth of things, that which is unceasing, never ending, and that understanding is expressed through love. And this is the teaching of the Buddha. This is the deathless teaching of the Buddha Dharma. So yes, there is impermanence. This is a characteristic of existence. Yet even, well, this impermanence reveals to us something more. So please enjoy or trust your own experience. It may not be pleasant all the time. It may be that sadness arises, loss arises, fear arises, anger arises. But have the courage to really see into it. Vipassana means to see into. And our task on retreat is to see into our experiences, not to see from bound up with them, not to see the experiences as about me, but to see in a different way, to see in a way that isn't bound to this dualistic way of thinking of me and the world, me and the other. And then we can touch that which is selfless, boundless. And when we do, love shines forth. We know extraordinary love. So I wish you a great exploration. Throw yourself into the retreat. I would suggest just when the bell goes, If it's time to sit, sit. If it's time to walk, walk. Just allow the form of the retreat to support your practice. And then you can put aside all the decision making about whether I should lie down or whether I should come into the hall or whether it's too hot there or whether I should sit somewhere else and so on. We get caught up so easily. So please explore, please inquire into life. Please practice with compassion and see what you discover for yourself. The retreat will be as it is for you. It will unfold in its own way. So just trust that process and be with that. Start wherever you are and see what happens. Take care. Thank you.